You're listening to Agile Ideas, the podcast, hosted by Fatima Ibuchi.
For anyone listening out there not having a good day, please know there is help out there.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Agile Ideas, the podcast. I'm Fatima Ibuchi, CEO at Agile Management Office, Mental Health Ambassador, and your host. On today's episode, we have another startup similar to us in terms of starting a business and not really knowing where it's going to go. I have Anthony Fitzgerald, who is a Senior Product Strategy and Marketing Executive who develops successful teams, has a track record of delivering outstanding growth and profitability through innovation. Anthony has over 20 years of experience in banking and has led cards and deposits businesses at both major and digital banks. He's responsible for many of the innovations that have shaped these markets, including low-rate credit cards, 0% balance transfers, Visa debit cards, and various reward program innovations. Currently, Anthony is a co-founder and the CEO at Stay or Go, which is a new company that's been around for less than 3 years and is actually trying to make a dent in the market around a very interesting and unique product proposition. So please join me in welcoming Anthony to the show. Welcome, Anthony, to the Agile Ideas podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Fatima. Very, very happy to be here.
It's been really interesting because I've been listening to and hearing a lot about your journey through the work that your co-founder and I have been speaking about working in the past. I'm interested to delve a little bit deeper about that. But first, tell me about something interesting or something frustrating that happened to you in the last week.
Interesting. Well, actually, on the weekend, I was lucky enough to get along to a Dua Lipa concert, which was a lot of fun.
I'm so jealous.
Here in St Kilda, so that was amazing. I highly recommend seeing her if you get a chance.
Yeah, I'm actually really jealous. I heard that she's in Waikiki Island, New Zealand, literally as we speak for performance tonight, and I'm just so disappointed that I missed out on tickets before I got to the email to book the tickets. So I'm very jealous, very jealous. That sounds like a lot of fun. So, Anthony, I've shared a little bit about you in the bio before we kicked off the call, but I'd love for you to just tell us in your own words, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where does Anthony come from? What have you been up to?
So in terms of my background, I actually studied software engineering and mathematics. I did a double degree quite a while ago now, so that's my sort of academic background. I then went into management consulting for about 5 years and then found my way into financial services. So I've got roughly 20 years of experience in financial services, having spent 10 years with ANZ, almost five with Westpac, and a few years in between with ME Bank. So in that time, I ran product businesses like credit cards or deposits at those organizations. So I obviously have deep experience with banking, but I've also got that technical background, and I saw the opportunity 3 years ago now, really to bring that all together, and I've always wanted to start a tech business, and so I took the opportunity. I took the risk, I guess, and jumped out of the corporate life and headed off on this journey to found Stay or Go. So that's the journey that I've been on together with my co-founders for about 3 years now.
3 years, and no doubt challenging 3 years as we do in startups.
Yeah, well, so it was just before COVID hit that we sort of began this journey. So, starting a business through that disruption was I guess there was some pros and cons I mean, obviously, we have worked from home for the majority of that time, without really any option to. But you know, it's we've actually got a pretty good rhythm as to how we do that now. I think as most people do. One of the challenges, yeah, were through that time, were obviously banks being our sort of key partners.
Mm-hmm.
We're quite distracted early on with just the concerns of what does COVID mean for their customers. So it was a little bit tricky getting their time early on.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got across the team, we've got a lot of relationships. So that's been very, very helpful in terms of building those conversations. So I've got a really good rhythm going with the banks, and they're very supportive of what we're up to, which is great.
Yeah, it's always really helpful coming from the corporate space and then having those relationships that you build over time to build the trust, and then end up having a business and then being able to work with them again, because you've obviously already built that relationship, and they usually have a good sense of how you work as well when they work with you. So it is a really smart way of doing things, as opposed to coming from the outside in. You actually started on the inside out, and then
helps in a number of ways. Obviously, having relationships always helps. To be able to have conversations and have that established trust.
Mm-hmm.
But also just understanding how these organizations work, the challenges that they face themselves, and how to get things done in a big organization. So that's been very helpful in terms of us making sure that we're not trying to put solutions to them that are just not practical.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like that's probably one of the biggest strengths of being being someone, we have a similar story in terms of being from corporate and then working in a startup and not a tech business though, service business, but actually being able to empathize with those that are in that large corporate landscape, and then now having the other side, having the small business sort of experience, mentality, entrepreneurial spirit, and bringing the two together. So I think that's like a recipe for success. What was something that surprised you from when you thought about let's start this business and to where you've gotten to now? Is there anything that stands out, or a moment or a particular area that really just surprised you being new to the startup world?
Look, I always suspected that there would be a fair degree of administrative type work and tasks in getting a startup going, but there really are a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it can take a fair bit of time and energy to manage those things. Just all the simple things right at the beginning, just about what company structure to set up, mm-hmm. and how to do that, and trademarks, and securing domain names, and just so many pieces, even a patent. So we've got a patent for our technology. There's a lot of these things that you've got a rough idea, but you suddenly have to become an expert in many areas. Employment law, yes. And contracts, and just commercial contracts with the partners you're working with. There's just so many of these sort of administrative tasks that are not necessarily core to solving the problem that the business is trying to solve.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can't get around them. I mean, people think that you start a business, you have this really crazy idea, and if you're anything like me, you've got all these sort of ideas that you just want to execute on, but then you start coming across those stumbling blocks time after time. And I found that one of the biggest challenges, particularly being a small business that, we didn't go for any funding or anything like that, so we sort of bootstrapped along the way, was trying to prioritize what we could afford to do, both in time and resources, whether we focused on marketing or whether we focused on sales, whether we focused on, whatever avenue we were trying to do. So that prioritization piece is a really challenging conversation to be having. And the smaller the team is, I think the harder it is because you've got less resources.
Yeah, you've continually got to be prioritizing where you spend your time. And you know, it when you're continually flipping from one type of task to another, so it can be unproductive. So to try and set your time up so that you can focus on one particular thing and do it well and just get it out the way, yes, rather than jumping around all the time, I think is a good way to run the day.
And you also want to make sure that you know, you're focusing on a structure part of the business, that, you know, your HR policies and your marketing and your sales, all the things you're building, they all have to be integrated and so the dependencies aligned. And sometimes I find startups might end up hiring, you know, a bunch of people because they've got this investment and this funding, but then you start having all these silos off creating your own things and they're sort of not speaking, and then it sort of unravels a little bit. So yeah, there's a lot of hurdles and a lot of roadblocks to watch out for in this startup world. But yeah, I'm sure we'll dive more into that in a moment. But can you tell us a little bit about where the idea of Stay or Go come from? I know you've spent a lot of time in the banking and financial services space, so naturally you had sort of an interest in it. But where did the idea come to you? In the shower, or you know, having a frustrating moment with a product that you were using already? Like, how did the idea come about? And tell us a little bit more about Stay or Go.
Yeah. So yeah, probably worth just what is Stay or Go? So Stay or Go is a service that we provide that helps you get a better deal with your existing bank without having to switch. So there's lots of providers out there that will, like a mortgage broker or you know, a comparison site you can go to, and you know, they may help you secure a better deal with your financial services, but inevitably you'll end up having to switch banks. Now, the key insight really that led us to develop Stay or Go is that most customers don't actually want to switch banks.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's inconvenient, it's time consuming, it's painful, right? It's just not something that people typically want to do, right? Unless it's been a really bad customer experience, maybe there's a motivation. And equally, you know, banks don't want to lose their customers, right? They want to do more to build and strengthen relationships, right? But they're not, you know, having worked in banks for quite a while, they're not necessarily that great at it. So really what Stay or Go is about is trying to solve that problem for consumers and for banks, right? So we, I guess one way to think about it is we're a bit like a marriage counselor or a relationship counselor, right? So how do we, rather than saying, okay, the best thing for you is to separate, you know, how do we say, well, you know, you don't need to separate to continue and have a great outcome.
Okay.
So that's really our focus, and no one else is really doing this. So it just seems like such an obvious opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons we think now is a great time to do it as well is that in the background for the last few years, the change has been going on in the industry called open banking or open data more broadly. So this is the government, the Australian government, introducing new regulations that require banks and you know, now telcos and energy companies to make it easier for consumers to share parts of their data with other companies so that those companies can provide a service to them, such as ours. So, you know, we see that as being a real enabler for the types of services we want to provide.
And I think that ties nicely as well with over the last few years of the rise of the number of startups in and around the banking and financial services space, as an example, is considerably more than it was a decade ago. So I think that's definitely opened a lot of doors and opportunities as well. So
yeah.
When you think about, I mean, I'm one of those people that are guilty of probably not even thinking to call the bank and say, hey, can you give me a better deal? I mean, I know I did it with, you know, my telco for whatever reason and got a better deal just simply by making that phone call. Why do you think consumers don't maybe there's some do, but maybe majority of us don't actually think to even just do that already. Like, what did you find in your research in that space?
Yeah, we did some consumer research that found that about three quarters of consumers feel like they don't have the best deal with their bank.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this constant sort of anxiety that look, I probably don't have a great deal, but as you say, the problem is most consumers aren't necessarily taking action to do anything about it. That's because of the the perception that it's hard work, right? It's probably should do something about it, but you know, I just don't have time. There's a whole bunch of other things I need to do as well. So yeah, it's really that feeling that it's too hard.
Mm-hmm.
So again, one of the key changes that we're implementing through Stay or Go is to make it much easier. So for example, with credit cards, which we have in market, literally within 60 seconds, we can review your situation and present to you whether there's another credit card with your current bank that you could easily move to,
mm-hmm.
and we can show you the benefit of doing that in terms of dollar terms. So making it really clear and simple and easy, so that you don't have to do the hard work. And likewise, you know, we're now working on home loans, and you know, the process that we're creating there is you know, amazingly simple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone we show it to, you know, is sort of blown away by how straightforward it is.
Yeah.
So you know, by really making it a much easier process and maybe reducing that perception of how hard it is and you know, the procrastination of doing anything about it, we really hope that we can help a lot more customers that maybe otherwise might not take action.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the home loan thing is going to be interesting with obviously the rising interest rates, and people are probably going to start looking around if they haven't already. I can say that I did actually use the product for my credit card situation, which I think, you know, we've briefly talked about. And it was really, really easy. Surprisingly easy. It was easy to find the card that I had been using for many, many years. So that was already in there. And then the information that it provided at the outcome of the process, which was, like you said, within a minute or so, was quite informative to be able to just pick up the phone and make that call and say to my current bank, I'd like to make a change. Didn't really think of doing that before. Usually you think that you need to switch cards or change to get a better deal, but it was quite surprising how much saving opportunity there was in making that shift had I continued to obviously go through that process, which is definitely on the to-do list. So yeah, it was really good to see how easy it was to use.
Yeah, great. That's great to hear.
And how, from when you started with the idea, or when you started thinking about the idea to get to your MVP, what was the sort of duration of time that you to get to that point?
Yeah, I'd been thinking about the opportunity for probably a year before I took the step to leave my comfortable job in the corporate world.
Mm-hmm.
So. And I'd certainly been thinking about startup opportunities, you know, for you know, probably a couple of decades, right? Because I guess it's something I've always wanted to do. And, you know, it's interesting, really a key thing about starting a business is having the risk appetite to do it.
Yes, 100%.
Right? So a lot of people steer clear of it because, the you know, it just feels like a very risky thing to do. And when you know, you can be on a salary somewhere and working reasonable hours each week, right?
100%. Yep, I hear you.
So And I've got a I've got a family and so forth. So really, I guess I felt like I was at a point in my life where, I wanted to really challenge myself and do something bigger than just have a comfortable job in a corporate. The opportunity that I saw and had been sort of thinking through seemed like the perfect one to go after. So it was either if I do it now or probably never will.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting because in corporate, I know, similar to you, again, with the background being in corporate, it's a lot of red tape. So I don't know about your experience, but trying to get ideas over the line, whether it's improving a product or so, you have to go through so many layers of approvals just to be able to have your idea heard, let alone prioritized into the list of things that are going to get done. So I felt a little bit like that when I was sort of in that space. What were some of, if anything, and I'll definitely share a few, but what were some of the things that you, if anything, did to, I guess, mitigate the risk of, maybe I saved up a certain amount, or maybe I had a casual side job to support just in case, or, did you make sure that your partner was working full-time hours? Is there anything sort of that you did tactics-wise to just mitigate the risk, or you just went straight into the deep end?
Yeah. I mean, certainly. My partner Rachel works full time and has a senior job, so that's helpful in terms of helping to manage the family's finances. We had to consciously adjust to say, okay, we're going to be having a significantly lower income for a period of time. And are we comfortable doing that? And can we manage through that? And we happy to, to sort of take that risk. It'd certainly be difficult. If I wasn't in that situation to necessarily do it. And I think the older you get, the more used to having a steady, decent income you are. Mm-hmm. But being prepared to make some lifestyle adjustments is probably harder for a lot of people. I think that's why a lot of people that start businesses, they're doing it at a very young age, right? Where there's the risk is much lower. You might not have kids and a mortgage to worry about.
Yeah, 100%. They always say if you're, if you're still at home, it's probably the best time to start a business because you don't have that overhead. So a lot more entrepreneurial spirit and a lot more people starting businesses this day and age. It's interesting because I'm thinking back sort of my journey 6 years ago we started. It was about before taking that leap of faith, it was like I sort of made sure that we had like a 6-month runway in case things didn't work out before sort of taking that leap. Definitely a lot more risk averse than just assuming that things are all going to work out. Obviously, there was going to be those trials and tribulations. So that was one of the things that I did to prepare myself for that. And then I think also one of the things I recommend people do is if you do have an idea, maybe you can start it on the weekends or weeknights as a side thing and just start getting the momentum before you take that leap of faith. And we sort of, in my position, we took the leap of faith after sort of signing up our first customer. And that was that, and the savings really helped. But I definitely was working on the idea after hours and weekends. I'm sure you were thinking about it as well prior to you taking that leap of faith. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, definitely. So, as I mentioned, probably been thinking about it and beginning to work on the concept for 12 months before, so that by the time I made the decision to really fully embrace it, I was pretty comfortable with what I was doing. And yes, it's similar to what you mentioned, just making sure there was a certain amount of runway there that I could get by with without income for a period.
Yeah, especially in the startup world, sometimes that's a really long time. So you
And the other important thing too, right, is that there you may not be getting an income, but you've got expenses for the business.
100%. And my goodness, are they getting, I don't know about you, but in the last sort of 6 months, but maybe because of inflation and other matters, the numbers are going up and they're just slowly increasing costs of software and, finance tools and all sorts of things. Everything's more expensive, especially marketing these days.
I mean, you can really when you're bootstrapping though, you can really get by with keeping expenses low.
Yeah,
You
100%. Now, speaking of expenses and bootstrapping and finances, I know your product is a free service, which is great, but obviously there's got to be a way to be funding sort of all the work that you guys are doing. And I know that one of the things that you have done is not only do you have a co is it just one co-founder along with yourself? Or
There's three of us.
three.
So yeah, there's Simon and Nia is a software engineer.
Okay. And so for someone like me who's not had a co-founder, I'm interested to know how do you go about finding the right people, and so how does that dynamic work with a three person team? And in terms of, do you have like set out a charter of how each person's going to do their work, or like what's some tips you can give to someone else that's navigating? Do we get co-founders or not, sort of in their journey?
So I think having co-founders is certainly very helpful where we've got complementary skills and capabilities, and you can obviously share the workload. I mean, I think that's critical, right? You want to make sure that you're going to be an effective team and you're bringing different skills together. I think trust becomes super important, right? So you've got to make sure that there's a strong level of trust between the parties, and that you kind of all know each other, and because you can't write all the rules down on paper, right? About how things are going to work. It's just not practical. So having that good level of trust, and people that you can count on. I mean, regardless though, you still need to set up some of the formalities around how the ownership of the company works. That can take some time to land on something, and particularly if it's the first time you've done it, exactly how company structures work, right? And the different options to set that up. You've got to learn quickly about how that works and make sure everybody's happy and comfortable, right, with how the structure works. I mean, we do we we've got some documents, I guess, that have some formality to it around roles and structure. But to be honest, it really comes down to the day-to-day relationships and working together, and everyone needs to be flexible. I think everyone needs to be up for the challenge of a startup, right? So if I think if there was a co-founder who was, just wanting to continue to work, 9 to 5 and get a steady salary, like in a corporate role, that might not be a recipe for success.
Absolutely.
I mean, So that's hopefully that provides a little bit of insight.
Yeah, for sure. And I think I read somewhere, or maybe I was listening to it in a podcast many years ago when thinking about business, and they talked about co-founders. And one of the things they suggested was having a group of three actually makes sense, because you're always going to have one person that can, make the decision point between the other two who might be bickering over something. Because I mean, we're never always going to agree on everything. So three is probably better than two. So you're on the right money there.
The dynamic works seems to work pretty well, and we all bring unique skills, so I think that works well.
And that's probably the most important part. I would not having one myself, but thinking about our journey, it's like having the ability to understand where, as a CEO, you know, your individual strengths and weaknesses are, and then having people that can plug those, I guess, those areas that, you know, we're not super strong at. Otherwise, you end up just having to constantly bring people in to help you along that journey. But sometimes it might be easier having someone to bounce ideas off, because it's a lonely journey being in a startup initially and setting up a small business and, you know, taking that leap of faith. So having some people to work alongside with is no doubt going to add a lot of value. So it's good that you've got that in place.
Yeah, and I've certainly found that really helpful in terms of, you know, having people to bounce ideas around and discuss and debate issues. When you're stuck with a problem just yourself, sometimes it can be hard to really get through it.
Having
being able to have the conversations, and sometimes you can get to an answer much faster that way.
Absolutely. And it's not always assuming, like, I know about me, but if I don't have someone to bounce ideas off, I just assume my answer's right, because there's no one to challenge me on the idea, so I'm just going to go with it. So it's a really interesting sort of experience being in a startup or a small business, then having come from, you know, the big corporate, going back to sort of what we talked about that. Just thinking about sort of the next steps for you guys in this business and growth trajectory, what's on the horizon? I know you talked about the home loan part of the product as well. So what's coming up for you guys? What's the next sort of, I guess, however far in advance you're planning look like?
Yeah. Well, it's quite interesting. When you start a business, you have an idea about where you're going, but you've got to have some flexibility in that, and also just keep your eye out for maybe opportunities that you weren't initially pursuing. So good example for us is one that we're actually looking to launch later this month. So it's a bit of an adjacency to our core business, and it's because we're consuming a lot of this open banking data, and it's a fairly new change in the industry. We're finding lots of what you call compliance issues, right? So essentially, where banks are publishing an interest rate, for example, that's not correct, or maybe there's an annual fee or something else. So we've actually set up processes that detect these issues and correct them.
Okay.
And so we've said, okay, well that's actually really valuable, because banks spend, you know, literally millions of dollars a year remediating these mistakes that they sometimes make. So we're in addition to our kind of core consumer service of helping you get a better deal with your bank, we've got this second service that we're building, which is to help banks pick up these issues right at the beginning and fix them before they become, you know, multi-million dollar remediation projects. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, that's something that we're launching this month. We're really excited about.
Mm, that's really I'm really curious about that. It's an interesting concept, considering, like you said, banks spend millions and millions and millions. I mean, a lot of the work in the last few years outside of agile transformation has been remediation compliance programs. So my question naturally would be, well, why are they not picking this up themselves?
Yeah, well, they potentially could, but they're not looking at the information the same way that we're looking at it.
Okay.
So we're because we look across the entire industry, we see anomalies that may be unobvious to others. So yeah, we're in a pretty unique position there. So we're quite excited about getting that into market, and I think we're the only. The only provider that has something like this using this data source.
Yeah, and the technology you've created.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. So we've built the technology. We're just essentially commercializing it in a slightly different way for a different purpose as well. I think coming back to the point, you've really, I guess, when you're doing a startup and you're being entrepreneurial, really important to just always be looking out for other opportunities, right? What else can you do with the time and energy that you're spending?
Yeah, absolutely. And utilize as much of your assets and repurpose them in other ways, just like we do in marketing with our, a lot of marketing content. Yeah, I agree 100%. Any new opportunities, and really that's the job of the CEO to be keeping, you know, your eyes peeled for that sort of stuff, and then working with the team to make those ideas a reality, but prioritizing them. Sometimes we've got too many.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. You gotta stay focused on the right things. So there's that one. And then the other big one that we're really focused on is home loans. So we've got a service for credit cards, as we mm-hmm. talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And the home loan service is really, really exciting and I guess very timely with the current economic environment, interest rates going up, you know, at a rapid pace. You know, we estimate there's $375 billion of sort of ultra low, you know, 2% type fixed rates,
mm-hmm.
Home loans rolling off next year, right? So there aren't too many households that are not going to be affected by that.
Yeah.
Including myself, right? We've got a 2% interest rate that's going to be rolling off onto probably something closer to 5 or 6%. So that has a pretty big impact.
Yeah, absolutely.
On the budget. So we're early next year.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be launching a service to help homeowners make sure that they've got a competitive deal with their current bank. And if they're not happy with that, then we also help them assess the best options from others in the market.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that was what there was, and correct me if I'm wrong, but that's the uniqueness of the product. Like you said, there's a lot of products out there to do comparison, but what you're doing is letting people compare where they are so they don't have to go through the headaches of changing if there's an option there for them.
Exactly, yeah. And I mean, that's obviously that's the name, Stay or
yeah.
go.
Yeah.
So we want to make sure you've got all the information so you can make that decision. Really we think in most cases staying is probably the best outcome for customers if they can get a competitive deal by doing it.
It's so fascinating because I reckon it would have taken just as long for someone like myself or anyone to just pick up the phone, get to through the numbers on the dialing to the right department before being put through to the other department and the other department, just to ask the question if there's a better deal on offer than the time it takes to actually go through the process, which is, you know, I did personally do for a minute on your website. So it's definitely mm-hmm. going to be time saving, which we all need a bit more of, particularly with everything going on right now. So yeah, I think people will definitely check it out. I'll make sure to put the details in the show notes so people know where to go to find out more about that. Other than your website, is there anywhere else you'd like people to reach out to you or connect with you, get involved with what you're doing?
Yeah, very, very happy. If anyone has feedback on what we're doing, I'd love to hear it. Any ideas or things we should do differently, I'd love to hear it. I think we've got an email on the website, which is probably a good way to get in contact with us. But otherwise, yeah, my email address is there, anthony.fitzgerald@stayorgo.com.au, if anyone wants to reach out directly.
Amazing. So before we wrap up today, Anthony, very interesting conversation and about a really unique product. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with our audience, a call to action, a piece of advice or a question to ponder?
Well, if you haven't done it already, then make sure you jump on our site, and if you have a credit card and just take a quick look, you know, literally it's 1 minute of your time and you might be able to save, a couple of thousand dollars over a few years. So definitely worth doing. Keep an eye out for our home loan proposition, which is coming. But otherwise, you know, if you're thinking about starting your own business, then Highly encourage you to give it a go. Just make sure you do the groundwork to set yourself up for success. And it's hard work, but it's very rewarding.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Anthony. I appreciate having you on the podcast today.
Thanks so much. Been a pleasure.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Please share this with someone or rate it if you enjoyed it. Don't forget to follow us on social media, and to stay up to date with all things Agile Ideas, go to our website www.agilemanagementoffice.com. I hope you've been able to learn, feel, or be inspired today. Until next time, what's your Agile Idea?